You know, I want to do a little test for you here. Who can name the four essentials? Quick.
Presence.
All right. Good job. So God's love, God's presence, God's truth, and God's power. And you win the award, whoever that was. But we understand that building the church, as we talk about, you know, we have a building which is amazing and God provides an environment, but the church is us. And what we want is we want to build the church, and that's like the way we relate to one another. And so whenever we gather, whether it be 2 or 200, we want these essentials to be a part of it. We want to experience all these things, and we can bring those things. As we have God's Spirit within us, we can actually bring those things through Christ to one another. And so as we've talked about that, we're going to be talking about truth again. We talked about truth last time and kind of described this whole thing of truth. A couple of review things is that we believe that there is an eternal spiritual truth, just like there is a physical truth. We believe that, you know, there's gravity, if I jump off the stage, it's just a fact, it's just a truth. But we also believe, that's good to know, so I don't jump off the stage without preparing myself, but it's also really good to know what's spiritually true, which is actually more important, about eternity, about our purpose in life, why we're here, what is wrong, what is right. That really is important because we believe that if you live by what is spiritually true, we will experience life to the full. Because again, we're not living in something false. We're just like anything physically. As we yield ourselves to that, it brings us freedom and it brings us a purpose. And we also believe that Scripture reveals eternal spiritual truth that we should trust our lives to. And so you can catch that teaching online if you weren't here last week, but we're going to continue on. And particularly today, we're going to talk about speaking truth. All right? Now, let's ask you a quick question here. There are going to be two categories here. People who are a person of many words, people who are a person of few words. Who is a person of many words? Katie? Oh, yeah. And so, all right, many words. I'm deaf. I'm two hands on that one. All right. How about people of a few words? There you go. How many have exactly the perfect number of words? Yeah, that's it. Somewhere. That's a pride teaching. I don't know. That's different. Okay. So I say that, and so for me, like, I've always been this person with many words. Sometimes I'm just a stream of consciousness, and I'm so thinking, I quit talking, and I start mumbling. And so I've had people many times ask me, what did you just say? This is so common. And then one of my favorite times was when we first started the church, I was someone who had become a Christian, and I was so excited, and he was excited, and we were at IHOP, and I was talking to him about all this stuff, and I was just talking, and he was just like a sponge taking it in, so I talked a little bit more, and he asked a question, and I was talking a little bit more, and then I had this last long run, you know, and he in the car, as we're getting ready, he looks at me, he goes, and it's not jokingly, he said, what part of that do you want me to remember? That pretty well describes me, right? But whether you're a talker or not a talker, that's not about truth. You may say less words, but when you speak, whether you're a talker or not a talker, or many words or not, you want to say our words are super important, and speaking truth is what we're going to be focusing in on today. Now, getting into this, the first thing I want to talk about is just this whole thing of these words that we have, right? Words are super powerful. And so I'm going to just lay a few facts out before we get into this place of how we do this speaking in truth to one another. But to just understand, words are a part of us. You know, we find ourselves in places where we don't think that way. We think, oh, well, it's not me, I just said that. No, it is. It's part of you. Your words, your actions, they're all part of you. And that's helpful to realize that. I mean, when the psalmist says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, saying they both are part of who we are, right? Now, as we look at that, the other thing about our words are our words actually reveal our heart. And sometimes that's good, and sometimes that's bad, but it's true, right? It reveals who you are. And so we often will use this illustration. We'll have a cup of water with a little bit of water in it, and I tell someone to shake it, right? You've seen me do this. You shake it, and then I say, no, shake it. So they shake it, and water starts flying everybody. I said, why did that come out of there? And they say, because I shook it. And I said, well, that's kind of true. What's the deeper truth? The truth is it is because it was in there, right? And we get shaken up, and what we get shaken up, you'll see who you are. It'll come to the surface. It'll show you. Now, sometimes it's a beautiful thing you see. Sometimes it's not, right? And so understanding that is that it reveals who you are. Recently, in the last few years, I've realized that I thought of myself as a very grateful person, right? And thankful. And then I started doing something. I started listening to my words. This is a really good exercise. And my words were much more correction, exhorting, correcting, you know, and critical. And a few nice, grateful things in there. And I thought, whoa, I like to say that wasn't me, that's just my words. No, it was me. And so that's something I've said, God, you have to help me in this. See, our words reveal what's in our heart. Sometimes it's hard, and sometimes it's really beautiful things. Sometimes I say things like, wow, God's done something that I actually, that was better than I thought, you know? So God shows the good things in your heart as well. The other thing about it is words are so powerful that they change your own heart by you just saying them. Now, we're a church that really is about authenticity, being real. If you're struggling with something, this is great. We love to hear about it, right? And if you're not having a good day, we don't want you to put something on. We want you to be authentic. Sometimes we can start getting depressive, you know? If you've been around the vineyard, you're like, oh my gosh, can I have any more pain? You know, but the reality of it is we're also people who don't hold to the word of faith doctrine that we just claim and speak things into existence, right? But we also are missing a little bit because in Scripture it talks quite a bit about the places of speaking words that are true by choice transforms our heart. I mean, even the way we come to know Jesus is as we believe in our hearts and we confess with our lips that Jesus Christ is Lord. And there's a spot where those two are connected together. And so understanding as we begin, like for example would be, you know how I've become a more grateful person? I didn't wait around until something started happening. I started speaking gratefully when I ever thought about it. I'd have to start saying it out loud, right? Oh, I could be thankful here. Oh, I could be kind here. And you may not have recognized it, but God does knows. And I'm trying to do that more. And what's happening, that those words, when I speak gratitude, makes my heart grateful. It transforms not only the people I'm affecting, which is good, but it changes me. The last thing is the big one is that, you know, that words can bring beautiful things, life, or words can bring death. It can take you from life, right? You guys, you know, we look at that in James, and it talks about this place where our tongue can be a fountain of salt water, which kills everything, or a fountain of fresh water that brings life to things, right? It can, out of the same mouth, these things can happen. You guys know that, right? It can come right out of you. There's a spiritual battle involved. When we're talking about speaking to one another in truth, there's a spiritual battle that goes on because we have a heart that's mixed in and we have a tongue. And so part of understanding as we go into this place is realizing that evil can come through our tongue or God can come through our tongue, how we speak. And looking at that is like in Ephesians, it puts it really clearly. It says, let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth, but only that which edifies and builds up, right? So there's a dual thing here of a battle, choosing to not say things that bring damage, right? And choosing to say things that bring life, right? And both require faith. A fruit of the Spirit is self-control, right? And so as we look at that, if you guys had that where you've had someone who speaks words over you and it literally cuts deep and damages you, and you think, what do I do with that, right? You know, our words can be a spot, as it talks about in Psalms, is that they can be cruel words or like deadly arrows, right? Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me is just about as crazy as it gets, right? That's a crazy thought. And I think to myself, what are we talking about here? That's just a defense against the obvious. Our words are powerful. You know, and sometimes it just, you know, it just In fact, you can live a narrative on just a sentence that someone told you that the enemy got in there, and your whole life has a narrative according to that lie. And so we have to understand that we have this tongue that has to be tamed, right? And I remember we had one time I was in the 90s, there was this really deep movie called Ghostbusters, I remember we had, in the staff, we had these offices, we did a little more counseling back in Palo Alto, and so one of the pastoral staff comes out after a meeting with somebody, and he's like, like walking out like this, and I said, what happened to you? And someone had met with him, and kind of, the tongue went kind of a little wild, right? The rudder wasn't held like the tongue is described as a rudder that you have to hold to keep its course. This small thing can take it different directions, and this person did not control the tongue, and it just came out, and he goes, I think I've been slimed. And I had to watch the movie later what that meant, but it's that feeling that you just, I got to get cleaned off, right? And I've done that to people. I know it's not just towards me. And so, but the cool thing, though, is it also, so it's important that we learn to restrain that. I just say right now is I want to thank my wife for how many times she has used the fruit of the Spirit to restrain what she wants to say, and I want to thank all of you for all those times that you started to say something, and you use the fruit of the Spirit to restrain. But that gets us started into that's the starting point. But the way you really deal with having your life, your speech be a fountain of life is by speaking those things that God tells you, the speaking the things from your mouth out loud, right? And so we can be life. You know, this is wild. When we speak truth and love to one another, it literally brings God in ways that it's hard to even comprehend that it can happen. I mean, it can heal wounds. It can bring hope. It can actually cause darkness to flee from people. It can bring healing. It can save us from going down a path that is towards destruction. You know, it can show a person who they really are. It can reveal who Jesus actually is supernaturally by just speaking truth and love, right? Now, so we have this choice that we have to decide on, and of what we're going to speak and how we're going to use our words. Now, Ephesians has a great truth about this, because he's writing to the church of Ephesus, and you understand this is in a culture that the culture is not what the truth of what the church of Ephesus is trying to believe. They're very countercultural in this spot, and so they have the culture, waves of the culture coming with them against what they say lies the culture. They're trying to say, how do I live in that? And then they have, in Ephesus, they have somebody within the body of Christ who is bringing deception and not holding to Scripture. And so Paul's speaking that. He says, talk about what we need to do is get the truth. And it says, and then you will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Now, I love the terminology. It's like, Paul's saying, you need to get established. You need to grow up, and you're an infant in this case is a vulnerable spot, right? It's not a positive. It's like you have no bearings. And whatever the culture has, whether this person you're getting thrown around, and what we need to do is we need to have you grow up. And it's this spot where we have to realize this is going to always be the Christian, and no matter what culture it is, there are going to be waves of culture and even teachings that will always be trying to knock us off track. And so Paul's solution for the Ephesians is the same solution for us, is we need to have truth. And so these teachings can be understood, what God has for us. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow and become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined together, held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Now, as you look at that, is this what I love is this spot of showing how truth is, everybody plays a part in this. I mean, this is, I'm hoping this has truth that's going out that's affecting in a positive way. But truth is, what it's talking about, these members of the body, they just keep bringing not God's presence and God's love and God's truth and God's power. But truth is a real crucial thing that we say, without that, you end up just getting knocked around. So for our church to do well, truth has to be going deeper and deeper into our hearts and how we live it out. And so as we look at that, I mean, I love it when I, around here, I hear these comments like conversation before small group or in the lobby or hanging out with someone for dinner or whatever, and I hear people talking about, I read this one story, I hadn't seen that before. And as I'm reading it, I just started understanding this whole new way of, and they go, yeah, and there's this dialogue going on. See, truth happens when we start talking about it. I mean, it's like there's something that happens with us together, you know, that doesn't happen other places, right? When we're just together, God's truth gets in on it. But we, as we begin dialogue, I love when people say, oh, yeah, I saw this one scripture. I'm still wrestling with it. I don't know how to get a hold of it. Another person starts talking about it. You know, there's this church in a church plant, and it was all new college students, right? And the guy who started the church had only been a Christian for like 5 years. And everybody was new Christian. And really, most of them didn't have much Christian background at all. And so this guy was like freaking out because he's supposed to disciple these people. And he's thinking, we don't have enough leadership to disciple these people. So here's what he said. He got up in front of everybody and said, here's the deal. I barely know what you need to know. I'm a little ahead of you. But some of you are months ahead of the other person. Some are years ahead of each other. Here's what you have to do. I want everybody to share with one another what truth you've learned as quickly as you find it. And that's more of a biblical model of truth, is that we as the body begin helping each other understand truth by trying it out. Have you had that happen where all of a sudden someone's talking about something, all of a sudden you get it too, or you watch them and you hear what they say and you get that truth? I mean, this is what we need to be doing all the time. You know, I love it because I hear a lot of things as far as like, you know, I know some of you, a lot of you, I've heard you have Bible studies in your work, which is amazing, right? Randy invited me again to the 6:30 in the morning men's group. 6:15. Oh, it's getting worse. So, but in my mind, I love that because these guys are showing up, not me all the time. I did one time. But they're showing up and they're listening to a guy speak about truth of identity, who you are in Christ. And this is how you see through the kingdom lens. And it's like, wow. And so we need to be, that should be just how we operate. And so as we look at that, is that the question, though, becomes in a spot is that, okay, we're supposed to seek truth. So I just, you know, I go, hi, here's a Bible verse. You know, you just talk, to us. I mean, how do you know when to speak and when not to speak? Because the Bible also talks about not speaking a lot. You know that? You know, restraining what you say. And so, you know, as we talked about before, is we have to realize that there's a part that we have to learn is in this spot of understanding that we have to restrain our words, and then we have to speak what is true. And both require faith, right? So the first part is that you learn to restrain what is not edifying, what is not based in truth, that is not based, maybe it's truth, but not without love. You don't say those things. And you say, you know, I won't do that. That's why there's terms like bite your tongue. That's why there's times like hold it. Because there's a spot in it. We have to realize there's a spiritual battle. So the first part of the spiritual battle is learning to not speak what brings destruction, that dishonors, that doesn't bless. So that's your starting point, right? And so, but then we're at the spot of, you know, the second part of the wholesome word coming out of your mouth is this place of how do we edify? And so in that spot is, I mean, for me, the starting point of this place of restraining, don't you get how much of a decision that is? I mean, haven't you had those points in which that you just want to say that thing that brings that person into a little less positive light? You know, or you say it with that look on your face and you communicate something that is dishonoring. I know that gossip is so easy. Statements of condemnation are so easy. It's so, to exposing another's weakness by their mistakes, to the point of putting someone down by just a slight way that you refer to them or you laugh as you say it. I mean, our mouth is so powerful in bringing damage. And so it really is important to understand the first part of speaking the truth in love is restraining what your tongue wants to say, and that takes faith, right? It's a spiritual activity. And so, and as we look at that, is there's a spot we have to know, when do we speak? And the primary battle, though, is this spot of the way we do it as we begin speaking up. We've been saying things, and don't you also know this? Speaking blessing, speaking your love for Jesus, speaking about what God is showing you, that's speaking how God has shown you your own heart, being truthful about that, it also is hard to do, right? It also requires faith. And so here we are at the spot. We know it brings life. And so let's focus in on this speaking part. What keeps us from speaking the truth in love, right? Let me just go through a few things. The first thing I'd say is this. Sometimes we have these, and again, we can say the devil keeps you from speaking the truth in love. That's fine. But let's talk about maybe some of the strategies, some of the lies we kind of believe that keeps us closing our mouth, right? You know, I love this. In the Psalms, it often talks, God, help me open my lips. In other words, it's really hard to, you know, and sometimes we need, God, help me to close my lips, right? But that's the point of power right there. If you can work on that, it'll change everything else, right? And so as you think about, help me speak the truth here, what do I do? The first thing to understand, it actually is your job. It's the commission. I mean, and it's not about your personality, you have to be outgoing. It just means that you are called, you have God's in you, and who is in you is someone who is a God of truth. And so you need to be able to not just say, oh, I believe the truth. You need to actually speak the truth, right? And God wants to show you how to do that. You know, the scripture is really clear that we are supposed to proclaim. We're supposed to speak out loud. We're supposed to speak as if speaking the very words of God. And so, first off, you may not know how to do it, but start with, yes, that's my job. Speaking is a part of my calling as a follower of Jesus. And the second one is this, is, you know, I think what keeps us from speaking is we start separating, again, I talked about this last week, we start separating truth and love. Like, some of you are like, hey, you know, I'll have people say this, I'm really a truth person, which means he may be mean or she may be mean, right? That's what it means, because they're saying, the love thing doesn't do much for me. The truth thing, I love that, man. I love a good truth, you know? You want one? No, I don't. So, and the other one is, I'm just a loving person, and I don't speak much truth, but I just love people. And I think, now don't get me wrong, compassion's a gifting, but compassionate people are ones that speak truth. You know, it's a spot in the sand. The two cannot be separated. And we got to not ever allow that to say, oh, I don't speak truth because I'm a love person, or I know I just speak truth, but I'm a love person, you know, back and forth. It doesn't matter. The two have to be married. Now, the next one is this, is that I'm not qualified. I think this is one of the big ones. I find that quite often that people feel, especially in our culture, which is very suspect to people who say I have truth, right? Understandably so. But the reality of it is, like, I'm not qualified. So we kind of feel like I have to understand all truth before I can, or at least a lot of it, before I can actually ever say truth. And you are qualified. And you're only qualified because of God's grace, because he's undeservingly given you his whole spirit by his grace, and we have him within us. And so, and we speak of this quite a bit in our church, but, you know, this place that we are earthen vessels, the reason that's saying that is because an earthen vessel is very common and has lots of imperfections in it, and it carries this perfect treasure. And we have to understand, we always think, oh no, I can't carry this perfect treasure because I know my weaknesses. You know, you don't know, I'm still struggling in this area of sin. I still have these struggles. I still don't understand the Bible very well. That's okay. You're an earthen vessel. Now, here's the key part that helps you to know how to step out when you feel unqualified. First off, understand it's a grace that has been given to you. It's just you're an ambassador. You're not the truth. You're carrying the truth. And the way that you make the truth clear is you don't tell the truth about God and hide the truth about yourself, right? You tell people, this is who God is that I know. I am still struggling with this, and we are truthful about where we're at. And when you do that, you become this earthen vessel which God's Spirit comes through. The last is, and this is probably the one that is talked about the most in Scripture, is I'm afraid. You know? I am just afraid. And it can be for lots of things. And here's some good news. Paul was afraid when he was in prison after all these years. After being put in prison for not being afraid, he was afraid again. And he kept saying, would you please pray for me that I won't lose boldness to speak the truth? Right? I mean, we see all the way through Scripture this thing of reputation. So you say, well, I don't know. I think I'll look foolish. Well, Paul's covered that. You will at times. Don't be afraid of it. It might happen. Wait a second. What if people don't respond to the truth? Oh, yeah, that might not happen. That might happen too. Maybe they will, maybe they don't. Sometimes we're the smell of life. Sometimes we're the smell of death. I mean, but when you get past and realize, oh, this is normal to be afraid a little bit. I don't know if, you know, I think I'll be a hypocrite. And they might think that, but that's not, you know, the thing about it is you will always have something that will try to make a threat, you know, and speaking about your love for God, you know. And I'm just telling you, you don't have to be afraid. You'll still feel that pressure, but understand that's the spiritual part, right? It's a part of understanding there's this place that you have to make the choice to begin speaking. And the way, here's the trick. There's a secret trick on how to get over being afraid. Say it anyway. And the more you start doing that, you'll realize, oh, you'll find the threats don't really hold up. But you won't know that till you say it anyway. All right? Now, ways we speak the truth. Profession, not your job profession, but profession, okay? What that means that this place of, in this place of profession is, let me catch up my notes, is this act of openly declaring publicly your beliefs, right? There's something, again, it gets back to the spot that yours do more to, they do something they, when they connect to your heart. But profession is this place that you take a decision and say, I believe this. It's a choice that you're making before God and publicly. I mean, when I was 8 years old, guy said, here's who Jesus is. I knew it was true. And I remember walking up front because that's what they told me I should do. But it worked because I remember screaming, I want Jesus! As I'm crying, they didn't really know what to do with me as an 8-year old. But when I yelled that out, it was really good because I declared, I want Jesus. And then over years, he was faithful. I was unfaithful. I started drifting away. And then when I came back to Jesus, you know, after my life being all screwed up, I remember declaring it back to him and saying, I want to follow you again. I said it out loud. Something happened in that moment. But then God thought I needed a little bit more profession. So I decided that at the same day I committed my life to Jesus, I went to a church for the first time, and a bunch of the young people were going over to a restaurant afterwards. I went with them. They looked a lot like church people, but I didn't care anymore. And I walked in, and my friend who mocked Christians was in the corner. You've heard this story before. But when I said to him, he said to me, quote, for you people who don't like cussing, what in the hell are you doing and who are these people? Okay? And I said, I've decided to follow Jesus and these are my friends. And when I said that, as foolish as he thought it was, it did something in me because I finally said, this is what I believe, and I said it out loud. And when I said it loud, something happened that didn't happen before. And so we need to be people who speak the truth in professing. Some of you right now are still trying to hide your Christianity, your love for Jesus at your job or your work. Just figure out a way of getting it out. Here's a good way. Hey, I was at church this Sunday. They told me about some people there. They were hiding their stuff from work, and I don't even know them. And because he said that, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm a Christian, and I'm sorry I've been hiding that for all this time, and I've not been honest. I actually go to church. I know it shocks you, and then you can tell your truth. I don't say that because sometimes I do crazy things, but I do love Jesus, and you got it done. But you will be amazed what that will happen. When I used to rep, I used to have to go to, they'd always take me to, you know, to some place that the guys go to who are sales reps, but I said I can't go. So I had to pull them aside, my boss, and say, hey, I'm not putting this on you, I'm putting this on me. So one thing I just want to say, just let me just give you a quick note because I forgot to put it in. When we're talking about speaking the truth, do you understand that we speak differently to the people who aren't part of the church? Very differently. You know, what we're talking about is talking to one another about that. Now, we speak the gospel, the message of God's grace, boldly, and tell people about what God's done in our life and testimony and telling the truth to the people who don't profess themselves as Christians. But we're talking about what we do after we're a family when we're talking here. Let me give an example. Like my neighborhood, a lot of my neighbors wouldn't say I have a personal relationship with Jesus, right? And so when I'm at like the block parties and the guy's getting a little tipsy, I don't go over to him and say, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's completely off limits. Like, what? We're not even working on the same page, you know? I expect them to not have the same view on sexuality. I expect them to not have the same view on relationships and money and all that stuff. I don't ever touch that, right? If they ask me, I'll try to be humble and explain what my experience has been. But what I'm going to tell them is, I want to get them connected to Jesus. I don't care about the rest. That's where it all starts, right? That builds the church and brings them in. But we're talking about this place of actually speaking to one another specifically. And so profession is good in all places, is declaring that. And so and my story was they used to take me to these places. I had to tell them, I'm a Christian, and I understand that place might be fine for you, but for me, because of this, I don't, just give me a heads up so I'll go eat at McDonald's when you go to this place, right? So the second is proclamation. And, again, Paul talked about the gospel not being ashamed of it. And in Psalms it says, I did not hide my righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness, of your saving help. I do not conceal your love. You are faithful, and I tell it among the great assembly. We just want to proclaim truth, right? Every way we can. When we're worshiping today, we're going to be proclaiming truth. And we as we speak the truth, we're speaking it from our heart. And even if it's not from our heart, it can start getting into our heart as we proclaim truth. And then the other is this place is teaching. And now when we think of teaching, we think often of this, right? Or the class, I'm teaching. But you know, teaching is a spiritual gift that many of you have gifting in teaching. All right? So I'm just going to be bold here. If you believe you have a degree of gifting in teaching, raise your hand. Raise it. Come on, those people who didn't raise your hand, raise your hand. All right, there you go. So a lot of you, so that's a lot of people. You know? But yes, sir, this means you have it in you. And you can teach. And you say, well, I can't get up front Sunday. How are we going to get that? It's just because it's who you do. It's how you work, you know? But we're called to teach. I mean, if you're a parent, you're called to teach, whether you have a teacher gifting or not. You're teaching your kids, this is what life is about. Here's what really counts. Here's what is spiritual truth that you have to learn at a young age to start living well, right? But some of you are places you're actually really just gifted in teaching and understand that. Ask God to show you with your personality, your position, how do you use that and teach as well. And some of teaching is just really a spot of almost conversation. We just talk about it a lot, you know? You know, let me say one more thing on teaching up here. Here's a good question. Why would you waste your time coming in here and have to sit, you know, awkwardly around a bunch of people and listen to me when you can just listen to it on the website and probably pay more attention? because more happens here. You know what I mean? Sure, I like to list it on the website, but the reality is there's something that happens when we gather around truth that God communicates things that he couldn't communicate anyway. That's why you say, oh, yeah, I remember in this one Sunday or this one small group or this one. Why? Because we gather, and his presence comes in truth. And so it also comes this one-on-one, that we can help each other as well. So let me review. Here's what I pray for a church, that we'll grow in greater love for the beauty of truth and the power of truth, that we will seek it, you know, that we don't just like let it come to us, we seek it, we pursue it, because we know it's God. And not that we just hear it, but we hear it and actually do it. And then we speak it. We speak it out. It just becomes part of who we are. As we speak it out, it grows us deeper and deeper and connects us more and more. So let me leave you with a challenge. The worship team can come up. This week, I just want you to pay more attention to your words, right? Let God show you things about yourself through your words. But also, pay attention to your words and that kind of that battle that we're talking about, that point that requires faith for you to restrain and not speak, you know? And then when you do, there's no condemnation. God just says, let me teach you again. But and then also having this place where you begin learning to speak what is true in that situation, that thing that will bring life in that situation, right? Look for ways to love people, speak love and truth. And these are just a couple of verses, I think, that are kind of good things to memorize for prayers, that you're always just praying, I want my meditation, what's going on inside of me, to bless you, God, and to please you. And I want what comes out of my mouth to please you. And I really want you to show me how to do both of those things. And then that prayer that when you have a hard time restraining, you can pray the opposite, close my lips, God, don't allow me to speak evil. But you also, what you really want to be doing is saying, God, open my lips so I can bless and let your truth come out. You stand.